Good morning. It's Monday. Get Moving Monday on the Harry Kamek Show as we talk about the latest mass shootings around the world. It seems that our world is in turmoil. There are mass shootings everywhere. There are mass shootings in Kenya. Over the weekend, 85 Christians were slaughtered in a church in Pakistan. Mass shootings here in the U.S. last Monday, and so on and so forth. It seems the entire planet is convulsing under the wave of massive violence everywhere. And so today we're going to talk about mass shootings, but today I wanted to give it a different spin. I wanted to talk about religious extremism and religious fanaticism, and to talk about it within the context of when people are persecuted for their beliefs. I'm not talking about hate mongering. I'm not talking about people on one side of the fence or the other who just sit back and talk about stuff and call each other names. I'm talking about when you actually believe as you believe and someone else doesn't believe what you believe, and you decide to kill them just because they don't believe as you believe. So we're going to talk about that today. So how have you been? It's been a great weekend. I had a chance to go out a little bit and see a movie called Elysium. I'll write a blog about it. And to talk about what that movie means. You know, I think the world is, there's a trend here, if you've been watching Hollywood movies for the last 2 to 5 years, there's a trend here indicative of a shift in thinking and mindsets that's taking place amongst the world's very wealthy people and how they perceive everyone else. So we're going to talk about that later on. But first, I wanted to just say hello to those of you who listen to me from overseas. I really feel saddened this morning that after Saturday's mass shooting at a mall in Nairobi, Kenya, that there are still people holed up in the mall, that to date, 62 people have died, and at least 63 people are still missing. And most of those are still holed up in a mall on the floor, the first floor of the mall in a supermarket. Muslim militants from Somalia, called a group called Al-Shahab, meaning the lads, have taken responsibility and have indicated that their wish is to have Kenyan troops withdrawn from Somalia. But Kenya is part of an African Union who have decided they don't want terrorism in Africa. So what they decided to do was they have a coalition of forces designed, who are organized, and who are united in removing terrorism from Africa. So Kenya doesn't want the violence in Somalia to come on its land, so it decided to send troops over there to get rid of the people who are causing the violence. And so the people who are causing the violence in Somalia are upset. And because they don't have any respect for human life and they don't care, they decided to go to a mall where people are just shopping on a Saturday. People are just, you know, after working all week, they've gone shopping and, you know, going to the supermarket and so on. And then they're going to go home and enjoy the rest of their week. And they decided to go there and shoot it up and kill everybody else. And the question they asked people were, are you Muslim? If you're not a Muslim, you are dead. If you're a Muslim, you're definitely dead. You will live. They were seeing people who claim to be Muslims outside of the mall. And the shocking thing is that the militants are male, but some of them dressed as women. They were male, but they dressed as women to disguise their true intentions. So they were just walking amongst the crowd like no other. And at the same time, there was another mass shooting at a church in Pakistan where 85 people were killed over the weekend. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. A few years ago, I was invited by a church in Pakistan to come and speak to them about a revival they were planning to have. And I have Pakistani friends here in America, and I asked them, what is that region like and what's violence like? How far away is it from the main cities, from any main city? And he said, the honest truth is, Harriet, if you were to go there, there are no guarantees for your security because it's too far from any main city. It's too far from Islamabad or any of the other major cities in Pakistan. And so I declined the invitation because I really didn't feel as if it were the best decision to make. I didn't feel that I should go. I felt like I should wait first. I kept saying, wait a little bit. And now I understand what that meeting means. I also received an invitation to go to Kenya about 2 years ago, and I didn't accept it either. And just recently, the same people who invited me 2 years ago invited me to come next year, I think it's October 2014, to come to their revival. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The thing about traveling overseas is that one has to, it's kind of like keeping to the well-traveled path. And even the well-traveled paths of the world today are beginning to look a lot less appealing because of the incidents of mass violence. Now, I'm a child of the 70s. I grew up in the 70s. And in the 70s, the airwaves were littered with news of shooting, of bombings everywhere in Europe and Northern Africa. I mean, it was everywhere. The only place those things didn't happen was here in the U.S. And so, you know, you kind of become jaded because it's like the world has to go on. People still have to live. What else are people going to do? And it's amazing to me that 30 years later, we're still in the same place. We haven't moved. We have progressed technologically, but as a people, we still haven't progressed. We still have hatred for one another. We still have hatred for one another's observations of religious activities and religious expressions. We still have hatred for one another's culture. We still don't respect each other. And we still seem to be intolerant of one another and of the other person's viewpoint. Now, we're going to get into detail about the religious extremism and so on, but I want you to realize, to recognize that such a thing is not far from happening here in America. It's not far from happening here in America, and we're going to talk about it later. We're going to talk about that in great detail and talk about what if it were to happen here in America. How are we going to treat it, and what are we going to do about it? What I said earlier, I went to see a movie called Elysium, and it was quite something to see, wasn't it? It was quite the thing. If you haven't seen it, go see it. We'll talk about that and more as the morning progresses. But first, I wanted to also make you aware that coming October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I have I will be having an author, a couple of authors on my show, and an attorney to talk about the Violence Against Women's Act. And what we're focusing, the focus is on violence prevention. The focus is on how do we prevent violence? How do we recognize the signs and symptoms of violence and the various forms of expression that violence takes? When I first began advocacy, the focus was on a man beating up his woman. Now the focus has included trafficking and sexual violence. Now, it's not that it wasn't always there. It was always there. It's just that the focus is there now because it's more prevalent now. It seems that we have lost our moral direction as a people, as a group of individuals, as human beings sharing a common space. We have lost our ability to keep what is real intact. We don't respect each other. We don't respect each other's spaces. We simply don't have any respect for human life. And so coming October, we're going to talk about that. I'll have author Bethany Real, whose book, The Earth is Full, I'm Still Enjoying Reading. And we're also going to have author Ray Ellis, and we're going to have an attorney to talk about it. And then we're going to close it out with somebody who will just talk about relationships. So, and there will be another author on. So keep those dates in mind as the day and as the weeks progress. And so it is Monday. Get moving Monday, huh? It's like the third week of September, and time is moving on. It's fall officially. It's officially fall, everybody. And guess what? It feels like it here in Michigan. It's been feeling like fall since August. And I guess there's no turning back. I was telling my daughter this morning who had a case of the sniffles. And she said, I don't feel like going to school today. And you have to. So there's no turning back. It's fall. It is what it is going to be. I said, it's time for all those kinds of things. It is what it is. So here we go, everybody. Here we go. So here we go, literally. Here we go. Well, what we're going to do for you is that we're going to talk more about these. But in the meantime, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a word from our sponsor. And then when we return, we're going to explore this concept of mass shootings. And where is it coming from? And why is it here? Why is it here? Take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Harry Aiken Show. Good morning. It's Monday.
Had your coffee yet? Why not try Organo Gold? It's mixed with the ancient Chinese herb Ganoderma that allows you to heal your body while also enjoying your cup of John. Organo Gold even comes in different flavors like latte, mocha, chocolate, not to mention green tea. Go to our website at www.harrietkamak.organogold.com and place your order today.
When the rain would fall down, I'd just stare out my window.
Breakaway. Literally took my breath away. That was Kelly Clarkson singing Breakaway. This is the Harriet Kamek Show. We're talking about mass shootings, and I'm amazed that it's been exactly 1 week ago, last Monday, I was talking about mass shootings as there was an incident at the Navy Yard here in the United States, that in Washington, D.C., where people opened fire on people at work. And how quickly that situation was contained and how controlled the news reporting was about the incident that took place there. And they're seeing, and now 1 week later, I have seen the picture. I'm beginning to understand why the government controlled the information so much. And I'm glad they did, because there seems to be a pattern. Because in just a few days later, at a mall in Nairobi, Kenya, there was a mass shooting at a mall of all places. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to go to the mall, don't you? I think most of us do. It's a very relaxing thing to do. We get a chance to go walk around and look at the pretty things in stores and buy some things. And it's a great way to relax. As a matter of fact, on this past Saturday evening, we were out at a mall. And we were going to dine at a restaurant at the mall, the Cheesecake Factory, and they were too full. I mean, the lines were wrapped around. And as we pulled up, I remember thinking, how cool is it that here we are, we're still free to go to the mall, while thousands of miles away on the other side of the world, people were at a mall in Kenya, literally begging for their lives. And I was so grateful. So grateful to be here. I tell you, I could have kissed the earth. I could have kissed the ground that I walked on. I was that grateful. And I do not take these things for granted. I never do. Every day that I can walk into a church and celebrate my religious freedom and my liberty, worship as I wish, I celebrate, I am grateful for that opportunity. And to be honest with you, if I sound as if I'm protectionist, I perhaps am. Because I'm going to always want to protect a country that preserves these rights, that preserves the liberty to go to a mall as I wish, to go to a church service as I wish, to go shopping and not have fear that if I step out the door or if I'm recognized as a Christian, then someone is going to shoot me or attack my family. And I think this is where mass shootings have taken on an edge. In a lot of ways, they're duplicating what we see here in the U.S. as mass violence, when it is done by individuals who have perhaps lost their minds and or who have lost their common ground and are aiming at people, anybody. But now religious extremists have taken this to another level where they're targeting specific groups of people. And I'm always of the belief that extremism in one form or another is always bad. I don't like extremism. I don't like fanaticism. Now, I'm a Jesus person. I follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. I follow the teachings of the Bible. I'm a Christian. But I am not fanatic about it to the extent where if I attempt to share my faith with you and you don't believe, that I condemn you with words or thought or with a gun. I don't believe in that. As a matter of fact, it seems to me to be the antithesis of what Christianity teaches, because it is a religion about the love of God spread abroad for all humanity. And I know many people are going to make the argument that Christians have won the world over because of the Crusades and riding into people's countries through colonialism and so on. That was for a day and time. As time progressed, we became more enlightened and realized we're not reflective of what true liberty is. The Bible says that Jesus came to set the captive free. If Jesus came to set the captive free, then who are we to hold anyone captive to our religious thought and our body of belief? We simply say what we believe. We expose you to what we believe. And we know you're going to be persuaded because it's going to create an awareness in you that, hey, there is something enlightening about this, that you might have thought like this or you might have experienced something similar. So you will come on to that idea and hold to that belief. We as Christians don't believe that we have to beat you into submission. We don't believe that you must convert to our faith, and the way we're going to do it is to marry another person of another faith, or we're going to beat you over the head, or we're going to shoot you up because you don't believe me. There, we're going to hate you. You don't believe, we're strong and keep on moving. Just keep on moving. Because essentially, you are going to find, essentially, whether you choose to believe or not is going to be entirely up to you. It's going to be based upon you and your experiences and what you have lived out in your life and what you've seen practiced around you. Now, here's where life in the U.S. differs from other places, is that essentially in the U.S., the rights of the individual are protected, meaning that each of us, each person is an individual. This is why the justice system is structured in such a way that when you're accused of something, you have to be proven guilty. The evidence has to prove you guilty. There has to be a jury who look like you, sound like you, who are similar to you in background and economic statuses, okay? That's the idea behind the justice system, to make you the common man. So everybody becomes the common man. You know, everybody is common. So, and it is why the founding fathers had this terrific idea of a place where the playing field is leveled and people are not judged based on socioeconomic status or religious adherences or cultural beliefs. You are just a common man. And so wherever I have found there are extremes in thought, violence will prevail. I found that time and time again. Where it's similar to any culture that promotes male dominance. It's an extreme thought, and therefore violence against women prevails in those cultures. Any culture that promotes strict adherences to certain customs and traditions, whenever people don't adhere to those, what happens? Violence prevails. You remember the story in the Bible of how Jesus went through the temple and overturned the tables and so on? You know what he was doing? He was doing this very same thing. He was saying, I am the Son of God. I was with God in heaven. I was with my Father in heaven. And you have polluted what my Father told you to do. My Father told you to perform sacrifices, but he didn't tell you to hold the people accountable to strict adherences that imposed harsh conditions on the people. So he said, after this, you don't have to do any of that. It's over. You don't need any more blood sacrifice. The only blood that will ever be shed anymore for you to believe in God or for you to accept God or for you to acknowledge God exists is my blood. I'm going to be the one who sheds the blood. And after this, I don't need any more blood sacrifices. That, to me, is why Christianity is appealing. Because it doesn't require anything except what? I believe. It doesn't say you have to take two steps up a mountain. It doesn't say you have to go two steps down in the valley. It says you have to. So, having looked at all forms of religion in the world, this is the one that I like. Now, let's say you believe something else about some other religion, and you over here believe something else about some other religion. We gather together, and we're having this wonderful discussion, and then we find that there are dissimilarities with our religion. Now, am I going to kill you because you don't believe I do? No. I might be exuberant in the expression of what I believe. I might be enthusiastic, but am I going to kill you? No. And this is where religious fanaticism comes in. When a group of people who share a common belief feel that their mission is to eliminate and eradicate those who don't believe as they do, that is religious extremism. And I tell you, my friends, I live here in the United States, I would not want to see it visited on our shores. I don't want to see it in anybody's country, nowhere at any time. I don't want to see it in the country where I come from. I don't want to see it in Canada, in Britain, in Germany, in France, in Italy. I don't want to see it in Tanzania. I don't want to see it in Nigeria. I don't want to see it in any country of any on any planet, on this planet. I don't want to see it. Why? Because wherever extremism and fanaticism are, what's there? Balance. Wherever those two factors are, there is balance. Wherever there are extremes in thought, balance will always prevail. And I think in a lot of cases, people, and you know, many Muslims today are perhaps, especially those in America who have always said that the rest of us, you know, the rest of the world hates Islam and we misunderstood Islam and Islam is a peaceful religion. I know many of you this morning woke up with egg all over your faces over this past weekend because you can no longer lay claim to that belief. Because what you are now seeing is that you are a what? A mild form of religion. And because you are a mild form of your religion, you are seeing the other part of it, the extremist part of it, and you're like, heck no. Because you can say all you want of Judaism, but when was the last time you saw Hasidic Jews put their skull caps on and take guns and go shoot up Muslim women and children? Primarily poor at a mall, women and children. When was the last time you saw Buddhists pick up guns and go shoot women and children? Talk to me. Just talk back to me. 646-378-0578. Call me. Email me. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. Talk to me if you think your position is worth defending. And I'm sure you believe it is. But your mouth is silent right now. Because even you right now are under the gun of the extremists and the fanatics in your religion who will turn and attack even you and say that you are polluting your own religion. Because you do not eradicate, eliminate those who don't believe as you do. Now, many of you are going to set this up and say what took place in Kenya was geopolitical and that it had political implications and ramifications because the Kenyan troops are in Somalia. But the folks who are the violent extremists causing the problem in Somalia are not even Somalians themselves. They're from some other place. So they come to Somalia to create war in Somalia, to hurt Somalians, and push that war over onto other lands. So people in Kenya and the surrounding countries are like, hey, we don't want this kind of violence in our country. We don't want it here. So they're going to form a union to prevent that from happening. Now, I'm not saying that you should not believe in Islam or be a Muslim or whatever. I'm not saying you should not. I am saying that you can choose to believe whatever you want to believe. But where your belief is going to represent a threat to my life, then I think you should re-examine your priorities. Because you can say now that you are a religion of freedom, of choice, because it seems to me that people who don't believe as you do are killed. Now, right next door to, you know, right there in Pakistan, another country, another couple of thousand miles away from Kenya, a group of Christians at a church went to church to worship, and after church, they were going to be given a free meal of rice. Those folks, 85 people, were killed. The church was bombed, y'all. My God. My God. To me, that is religious persecution of Christians. We're seeing it happen all over again. This is the 21st century style. And did you still, what did you still say about Christianity now? I am saying to you that even as a Christian believer and as a Christian minister, I'm saying to you that there are extremists in the world. And I'm going to be honest with you, Christians are primarily the world's greatest missionaries. Whenever a disaster happens in some other country, Christians are the first people who show up on the ground. They bring their supplies, they bring food, and they bring whatever the folks in that area need. And they give it all, and they don't tell you that you have to be a Christian to believe as well. No, they don't. They give it all. If you want to be, fine, then here's a way we can disciple you. Here's a way we can show you how to be a Christian. Here's what we say and believe. They'll show you. And then they will leave with their resources, and they will leave resources there to be sustained. Now, why would you want to kill people like that? And now I know many of you are going to say, well, we do the same thing in our communities. We do so and so. But that's you, with a small part of you, but that you cannot control the, and this is what someone had said years and years ago, that you can, that Muslims cannot control the extremists and the fanatics there in their faith, and you can't. You yourself are under the gun. If you say anything, they're likely to kill you. You can't even post something out there because they'll come looking for you and call you a traitor or an infidel. And that's even worse than never having to leave at all. And so you've got to be, you can no longer say that I'm going to follow this with fanaticism. And I've said this to many people, you know, when you travel, part of the reason for travel is you are exposed to different cultures and customs and traditions. And as you travel and so on, you become, you tend to absorb those ideals. And if you find that you are absorbing them and you assimilate, you settle, and you become a part of the prevailing culture, then you absorb some of their beliefs. Now, many people, you know, I'm an immigrant, okay? So let's say in my story, I assimilated, right? My children then have the option to choose to be whatever they want to do, right? Okay, so some people who, like my parents, they don't assimilate real well. They don't immerse themselves in the culture. No, my mother is, anyway, it's just crazy. Because she feels as if, she's a traitor to where she comes from if she allows herself to be totally immersed in this tradition. That's the same thing with people who change religions as they migrate. When they emigrate, they stick to what they are accustomed to because feel not only is it a source of identity and a source of individual self-identity, but also because they feel as if they would be traitors if they were to leave what they believed and absorb the new belief system. That is also part of why many people stick to it. And some others just believe that, well, it is the right thing to do, and they, no matter what the evidence is in front of them. There was one young lady I met once who, no matter what you said about it, she was going to, even when in the face of it, when it was wrong, I said, okay, I see, you've been programmed. And there are people like that on both sides of the coin. There are people in Christianity who are like that. Last year, during the midst of our presidential election, it became obvious that fundamental Christianity and people who refer to themselves as evangelical Christians and fundamental Christians were some of the most racist people on the face of the earth. The kinds of things they said about Barack Obama and about black people are abhorrent. And they were called out for that. They were told that they were bad. Those two represent what? Fanatics and extremism. And extremism is bad. Now, the only violence they were going to practice was using the power of their pen and the power of their wealth to execute policies on a whole range of people to make sure people were sidelined and marginalized. But outside of that, they're not the kind who are going to pick up a gun or tell others to pick up a gun and go shoot at them. They really don't care because once they stop talking and the cameras and the lights are off, hey, they go back to the golf game. They go back to flicking their remotes and go back to watching golf, playing golf and playing the stock market and so on. And then, you know, they assimilate. They go to the mall. They go shopping. They go buy something new. And it's like another day until another controversy circulates. So it's different. Theirs is idealistic. They talk about it. And they use it as talking points. I don't know that they truly believe what they say. I think just say it because they feel a conviction to say it. They feel that they have to say it, that somebody has to say it. But where religious extremism exists now is when those people who carried out this kind of mass execution at the mall, they actually believed it. They believed it. They believed what they said. And that, my friends, is dangerous. So what I want you to do, what's your assignment, Harry? You're saying, so Harry, what do you want me to do about this? I want you to go and pray. I will make sure that you are aware that these kinds of things are happening more and more frequently around the world, and that we're going to have to be prayerful and watchful to ensure that we protect our religious freedoms here in the United States. I can't speak about Canada. I don't live there. I have never lived there. I can't talk about Great Britain. I've never lived there. I live right here on terra firma, right here on homeland. And we're going to have to find out. We're going to have to make sure that we can protect what? Homeland. We're going to have to make sure that we protect, we're going to have to make sure we protect our individual rights. Now, here in the U.S., if you feel like a tree is your form of religion, then by all means, go worship a tree. It might be silly to others, but to that person who believes as they do, it's everything. I say leave people to believe what they want to believe. Just use a gun or a knife or ammunition or grenades to enforce what you believe. That's never cool. I don't know that you gain anybody. I think you lose a lot more people. Because if the way you're going to count your numbers is by conversion, by conversion, not by faith, not conversion by belief, but conversion by marriage or conversion by killing people and eliminating your rival, then you really haven't won anything at all. Where are the numbers? The other people, if you're going to compete with somebody, and when you look around on the landscape they're competing on, if the only people who are left on the landscape are people who look like you, then you're not competing at all. Competition has to be there are other people who are different from you, but yet you won because you are way better. So if you're going to eliminate all the people who would believe otherwise, then you're not winning. And I suppose that goes against what the religion might teach, which is that the whole world should be filled only with Muslims. So then what are you going to do, kill the rest of us all? This is the Harriet Kamek Show, everybody. Love. How about that? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Get some love. Get some love. Get some love. This is the Harriet Kamek Show. I'll be right back.
Stop it.
Catch My Breath, Kelly Clarkson. Sing Catch My Breath. This is the Harry Camp Show. It's 42 minutes left, 42 minutes into the hour, and you still have another 18 minutes to go to the top of the hour. And we're talking about mass shootings, Nairobi style. We're talking about religious extremism and fanaticism and the various ways in which we as a people choose to express ourselves, and the right to control those freedoms are inherent in our rights as human beings. And I just feel like we really ought to do a better job. We've come a long, long way from colonialism and the post-crusades and the colonialism that practiced in the 15 and the 14, 15, 16, 17, 1800s. We've come a long way since then. The days when the British Navy ruled the seas, and they didn't have satellite equipment then. They just ruled the seas. And Britain, as most people who later went to Britain to find out, was a very small country, but controlled most of the world. And we've come a long way since then, a long, long way. It's time for our thinking to line up with 21st century ideologies, 21st century ideas. It's time to eliminate the extremism forms of thinking that that some of us tend to subscribe to. Believe me that wherever extremism is and wherever fanaticism is, there's always going to be what? Violence. It's a breeding ground for violence. If there is extreme poverty, what happens? Violence. Isn't it? If there wherever there is extreme poverty, there's going to be violence and there's going to be people who are exploited. Wherever there is extreme wealth, people are also what? People are also exploited for that as well. Or they use the extremity of the situation to control others. Wherever extremes exist, there was always the potential for one group of people to impose their belief system and use their belief system to control and oppose another group of thought. And we've got to get to the stage where we recognize that. We've got to get to the stage where we understand those dynamics and work to end those situations culturally, socially, and religiously. Yes, we have. We have to get to the stage where we allow people to believe as they are without imposing our belief on others. Now, Christians engage in conversion by faith. The goal is to talk to you about Christianity and about God, and then you catch the light of faith, and so you go for a baptism, and you immediately say, I believe. That's a whole different thing than holding a gun to someone's head and saying, are you Muslim? If you're not a Muslim, you're dead today. That's a whole different thing. Do you see what I mean? Now, many of you are saying, but Harry, the Christians in Pakistan are demonstrating. Well, what did you expect them to do? Sit back and watch as they are peacefully worshiping, and someone walks in and somebody has already set up bombs to detonate while they were worshiping? That instead of people walking out, their relatives were taken out in coffins? You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. People are always going to fight back, and they fight back with whatever tools they feel they have. So we've got to do a much better job. We've got to. And I don't want to see extremism and fanaticism here in the United States. I don't want to see it. I believe that this is a free country. We are free to believe. This country opens its doors and says you all are welcome. But it's trusting you that you're not going to do anything that is going to what? Upset the common good. So we've all got to practice restraint. No matter how extremely excited we get. It's like going to a football game, right? The Lions and the Packers are playing. Now, I am a diehard Packers fan. Like, you would not believe how I love the Green Bay Packers. Okay, so I go to a game where the Packers and the Lions are playing, and I love the Packers. And somebody is sitting beside me in a Lions t-shirt. We're going to rib each other all through the game. But at the end of the day, we're going to say, hey, what a good game. And you're going to laugh and talk about it. That's how it should be. That's how we need to be. That's what we need to do. And I feel that, those days are coming and that it can happen. It's time to end mass violence. And makes no sense, everybody. I say, well, you have mass shootings in the U.S. Yes, but they're not spurred by religious fanaticism or extremism. They're spurred by people who have lost their grip and their bearings in society. Usually people who are discontented. Doesn't mean that they target Christians. And one of the things that I'm observing in these mass shootings is that the casualty rates among women and children are always high, especially in these two cases in Nairobi, in Kenya, and at a church. Women and children ranked highest in the number of casualties and fatalities. That speaks volumes. It means then that you have, the place where your heart is supposed to be is hard to rock. And that really what is there is nothing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is the Harry Cummings Show. Thank you so much, everybody. I'll be right back. Enjoy the music. It's Monday. Get moving. You don't know a thing about me. Mr. Know-it-all, Kelly Clarkson. Love it. Love it live. Well, this is the Harry Kimmick Show. We're getting ready to get out of here. And just wanted to tell you thank you so much for being a part of our experience on this Monday, the first official day of fall 2013. Yes, it is. The year is marching on, and it seems we're getting closer and closer to the end of the year. And don't cry. Don't panic if you haven't achieved your dreams yet. There is still time, and only God knows what is in store for you. And my prayers are that you are going to achieve what you set out to achieve for the year. It could take right up until the last minute, but you will get it done. I want to thank you so much for being my guest, and thank you so much for listening. As always, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to broadcast to you and to come to you and to talk with you about the matters that stand before. I know many of you are my regular listeners, and I am so very grateful. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And it is always, as always, blessed in everything that you do. Make sure you go out and do something today. Enjoy fall. I mean, it's a little chilly. There's no sun out, but it's apple cider time. It's time to go visiting the barns and so on. And it's also time for the sniffles. So take it easy. Make sure you stay warm. Wrap yourselves up. And, you know, it's time to pull out the old fuzzes. It's sweater weather. It's leggings weather. And it's also boots weather. It's time to put the boots on. I know. I didn't want to accept it. But yes, it is. I'm almost like, okay, it's going to be cold. It's cold already. Whatever. Anyway, have a great week, everybody. I'll be with you again tomorrow. And make sure that you go out and you support us by buying our books and supporting the various ventures. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Stay connected. And before you do anything else, everybody, make sure you say a prayer. Say a prayer for our friends in Kenya. Say a prayer for our friends in Pakistan. Say a prayer for our friends right here in the U.S. Say a prayer for you right where you are in your country, in your region. This is the Harry Kimmick Show, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you again next time.
Have you ever read one of Harry's books, Visions, Musings of the Spirit, or Through the Fire? If you haven't, don't fret. They're all available on Harriet's website at www.harrietkamath.org. They're also available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can even download Harriet's app on your web-enabled mobile device. Simply type in http://harrietkamath.mob.app.at in your mobile phone's web browser. Need Harriet to speak at your next engagement? Give her a call at 1-800-573-1534 or visit the Contact Us page on her website. And if you want to know more about the Harriet Kamath Show, log into Facebook and search for The Harriet Kamath Show. Like the page if you want to, and be blessed.